The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for audiences who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
This week, we want, like everyone else, to pay tribute to two wonderful people to whom we all owe a great deal.
The first, of course, is Robin Williams, a man of peace.
And the second is also concerned with peace, as in keeping the peace. Yes, we're talking about Mr. American Policeman, or as Lenny Bruce used to call him, Mr. American Peace Officer.
This week, we're shining the spotlight on our wonderful cops across the country and on the job they're doing from New York to Ferguson, Missouri to Los Angeles, putting their lives on the line daily in tanks and choppers and armored vehicles, holding military maneuvers to get them battle-ready just in case Obama finally does order the U.S. military to attack law-abiding citizens.
And above all, keeping us safe from black people by killing and jailing them for no reason.
Of course, there are differences in style. In Ferguson, they shoot black people in the back, while in Los Angeles, they make them lie down before they shoot them.
And here in New York, why, our big buff boys in blue kill them with their bare hands.
So, by way of a big thank you to the nation's law enforcement officers, this week's show has a few pieces highlighting what a great, great job of enforcement they're doing.
Keep up the good fight, guys. We're behind you all the way.
Because that's the only safe place to be.
This is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Coming this fall from all three networks, it's Coppophilia, yet another searing drama about Americans' crazy, doomed, but unending love affair with cops. James Franco stars as Officer Lou Stiggy Stiglitz, yet another bipolar, sociopathic, trigger-happy, but always endearing cop who strews bullet-riddled corpses, ruined lives, and routine injustices in his wake the way a snake sheds skins, and always comes out smelling like an endearingly battered, week-old rose.
Hey, officer, how can I have a career in law enforcement?
Get your hands on the car, you fucking dirtbag. What you got in your pocket? A fucking gun? He's got a fucking gun!
No! No! You put it there! Ah! Mommy! Mommy!
Good job, Stiggy. Keep these numbers up. You'll make lieutenant.
Like you say, Captain, forget the law. It's all about enforcement.
Coppophilia, the series that brings you the heartwarming inside story of the brave men and occasional deluded female who 24/7, 365 are ready and willing to put their lives on the line for one another.
I saw you plant that gun on the kid, Stiggy. I'm going to IA.
Tell you how it works, Cadet Cody. One of us kills a perp, sugar. We all kill the motherfucker. Ever hear about the one rotten apple in the barrel?
Yeah, and you're it.
That ain't the way it is, sweetie. One good apple in the barrel spoils it for the rest of us apples. One good apple in the barrel is a fucking rat.
Jesus, you just shot her in cold blood.
Motherfucker. You did.
Coppophilia, the show that brings you the enduring truth that any police force in any society embodies the darkest, cruelest, and stupidest prejudices that society harbors and whitewashes them so clean, you love those boys and babes in blue.
Excuse me, officer. Can you tell me the way to the Statue of Liberty?
I'm eating. Go fuck yourself.
You know, you people are the same everywhere. Back home, we call you lot the filth.
Get your fucking hands in the car, you limey faggot. What do you got in your pocket?
Probably the gun you're about to put there. Mommy!
Coppophilia, yet another exciting, engrossing telenarcotic series from yet another craven network that brings you yet another flawed but lovable version of your own collective lizard brain. Cops, you gotta love them on Coppophilia.
The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think about illegal immigration?
I just don't want them taking my jobs. but I don't have a job, so, you know.
I don't like Hondurans coming into our country because Honduras is shaped like a boot. That's Italy?
I just want to say to all those poor babies that came over that have no home, I'll take you in and you can live in my home with me and my cats.
Your little Honduras kids are walking across the border. I can't even get my kid to walk outside the house. My family is dying.
I don't want people from Central America coming to California because I don't like Kansans.
I only know high school Spanish, so I'm only able to talk to high school kids.
I say let's keep the Irish out. The Irish are ruining everything.
I don't mind people from Honduras or Chile or Panama. It's Nicaragua I can't stand.
I had diarrhea once.
The final edition also asked the dog on the street.
Well, I don't like any of these people coming running over the rotor. They're raking our robs.
Hello, help desk.
Yes, I'd like to report something wrong with my country.
Do you have a warranty?
I have a constitution.
Which part of your warranty does this refer to?
Let me see. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 2.
Could you be more specific?
The part where it says Congress shall have the power to declare war?
The War Powers Clause. Are you calling from Westeros or Winterfell?
The United States. Westeros and Winterfell are fantasy places in the Game of Thrones.
From what I'm seeing here, your War Powers Clause is mostly fantasy, too.
Are you saying my constitution is a fiction?
I'm saying that section hasn't been used since World War II. It might have expired.
Congress's ability to declare war doesn't have an expiration date.
Of course not, sir. They just haven't used it in 73 years. Now, what's the problem?
I think we're at war.
What do you mean, war?
An organized, prolonged conflict characterized by extreme violence, social disruption, and economic destruction.
I know what war is, sir. Is your conflict conceptual, actual, or implausible?
I don't know. All three? We're back in Iraq.
Sir, I'm showing that your country withdrew from Iraq 3 years ago.
Yes, but now we're back sending airstrikes.
Are these airstrikes limited or unlimited?
What's the difference?
No difference, but limited sounds better.
How do you limit an airstrike?
I don't know, sir. How do you mend a broken heart? How do you stop the rain from falling down?
Are you being facetious?
No, I'm being officious. What is the timetable for your limited airstrikes?
They will take months.
Okay, you have limited airstrikes with an unlimited timetable. Yep, you've got a war.
That's what I thought, but my country doesn't seem to notice.
They're probably distracted. Are there any other wars going on? Reality TV?
Well, there is the fighting in Gaza. And on Big Brother, there's a lot of palpable tension between Frankie and the beast mode cowboy.
There you go. Why don't you just give it time? Tragedy plus time equals war.
I thought tragedy plus time equaled comedy.
True, but war plus comedy equaled MASH.
What does that have to do with anything?
That was an 11-year sitcom about a 3-year war that was never declared.
So you're saying I should just shut up and enjoy our limited slash unlimited non-war war? Because eventually, with the right cast and writing staff, it'll be funny.
Sir, I'd love to discuss your quagmire further, but you need to take it up with the military-industrial Instagram photo BuzzFeed quiz cat video complex. Next!
Treehaven Police Department Instructional Video Number 16, How to Find and Arrest Big-Time Teenage Drug Dealers. Welcome to this instructional video. Each of you has been chosen to go undercover at the local high school because of your youthful looks and shallow, reckless rookie ambition. Now, when you first arrive at the school, the drug dealers may not be the people who actually sell the drugs, since they may not be willing to sell the drugs to you. Instead, your dealers may be lonely kids who have trouble making friends.
Hey, you don't seem to have any friends. Why's that?
I'm...
I'm mildly autistic.
You know where to get pot?
No, I can't tinker with my medication.
Another way to uncover a drug dealer is to wait for an awkward teenager to become sexually attracted to you.
Hey! So you just transferred to this school, huh?
So, do you sell ecstasy?
Yeah, sure! I'm cool!
Both of these officers have made a good start. Now they need to apply peer pressure, which, as we know, is the cause of all drug use.
Guess you haven't had a lot of friends before, because real friends come through with weed.
I'm asking around to see who has it, but I have a social anxiety disorder, and I vomit when I approach new people.
Get me the fucking weed!
Or perhaps a softer approach.
It's going to be so awesome when you get me that ecstasy, and we're going to be together.
Even with my psoriasis?
Most important of all, they cannot just give you the drugs. You have to make sure they take money for it.
Just take the pot. I don't want the money. I want to go home.
Take the money or I'll bust your fucking arm!
Or you can try a softer approach.
Take the money or I'll bust your fucking arm!
Now you have the drugs. They have the money. You can perform your righteous duty and remove these psychotic miscreants from the streets. You are also free to seize any money or possessions they have with them, including their parents' car. Did you buy the drugs at their house? That's yours now.
But you were the one who said to get you pod.
I'm going to become sergeant, and you're going to die.
I thought you loved me. Now you've destroyed my family.
Nobody is ever going to love you. Look at your skin.
The psoriasis. I know.
Drug problem solved. Now get out there and happy hunting. Bring in a case or you're done.
With luck, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the final edition Radio Hour, a more perfect onion.
I was at a barbecue, and everyone kept pointing out how hot it was outside. I know, it's hot outside. I'm standing right next to you.
I saw an ad for the movie The Expendables 3, and it just made me really, really angry.
My friend Bethany was telling me about her cousin's insensitive online presence, and how he doesn't fact-check the memes he posts on Facebook. I tried really hard to care, but all I could think about was that none of this matters and we don't know what happens when we die.
If you or someone you know have experienced any of these symptoms, you could be one of the dozens, if not hundreds, of Americans suffering from a condition called using your fucking mind. What's startling is that 100% of all humans are carriers of the disease. For some, it can lie dormant for years, while for others, religious fanatics and Megyn Kelly seem to be completely immune to the condition.
Other symptoms of using your fucking mind may include but are not limited to realizing all politicians regardless of party are crooks, empathy, appreciating good art, avoiding small talk, reading, being self-aware, and understanding the bigger picture.
There is currently no cure for using your fucking mind once it's active in an individual. But there are treatments. BuzzFeed quizzes, Facebook, happy hour, sexting, gossiping about coworkers, arguing about religious or political views, telling other people how to live, and reality television.
Talk to your local cable provider about what treatments could be right for you. Okay, people, come to order. Bartnik, you've had 6 months to come up with some way to increase minority viewership here at Fox News. Mr. Murdoch himself is taking a keen interest in this. What do you have?
Yeah, it involves one of the subsidiary channels, like FXX.
FXX?
That's the channel we use to get rid of black people, like that kid with the talk show.
Kamau Bell.
The point was to forget his name, but go on.
Now, we use one of the spare channels to create a Fox News tailored to a black audience. Gentlemen, if you will all watch the monitor, I give you Red Fox News.
Obama, you dummy. You so dumb, you thought your press secretary was supposed to iron your shirts.
Well, hmm?
I have a few questions. First, was that a white actor in blackface?
Yeah, I couldn't find a black guy who would do this.
Keep looking. White people cost 40% more. And where did you get actual blackface? They don't sell that stuff. We tried to get some for the entertainment for Mr. Murdoch's birthday, and we couldn't find it.
The blackface was a double layer of John Boehner spray tan?
Well, dial it back a little. There's such a thing as too black, you know?
No problem. After all, the point is the content.
Hey, Hillary, you so dumb, you brought a doobie to a joint session of Congress.
I assume the real Red Fox is dead? What if his estate complains?
We deny any connection. We say that all black people talk like that.
That's racist.
Thank you.
I didn't mean it as a compliment this time. Other people will say it's racist.
Yeah, but boss, it tested well with Fox's youth audience.
The 60 to 75 demographic? Okay, keep tweaking it. But what the network really wants is Hispanic viewers.
I'm way ahead of you. Check it out. Vicente Fox News.
Oh, muy good. Good idea, man. I like that. Good.
And now it's time for Terrorists Are People Too.
Are you there, Allah? It's me, Mohammed. Today was a rough day at work, you see. I woke up this morning feeling good. Dare I say, better than good. I didn't mean to get ahead of myself, Allah. But I was sure that today was the day that I was going to get promoted as the next suicide bomber. So, I took my monthly shower, put on a brand new turban, and drank a cup of American blood for good luck. I knew something smelled Jewy from the moment I parked my camel, because my best friend Asaf, you know, the one with thick lips and body to kill, was waiting for me outside the cave. Asaf! What are you doing here? Please tell me you are wearing SPF on that gorgeous skin of yours.
Hey, Mo. I have to tell you something, and it's not good.
Oh, no. What happened? Did Obama find us? Did we lose our WMDs? Did women get the right to vote? Tell me now, damn it!
No, it's nothing that bad. It's just... You know how you wanted that promotion as the next suicide bomber?
Yes?
Well... This morning, leader gave it to Abdullah.
What?
I'm so sorry, Mo. I know how much this meant to you.
Abdullah? Is it the biggest retard in the office, Abdullah?
To be fair, he's not so much retarded as minorly autistic.
Whose side are you on?
Yours, of course. I'm just saying.
I have been here way longer than he has. I work much harder than he does. I am the one who should be the next suicide bomber. It's not fair.
The world is not a fair place.
I don't understand. I'm a good person, right?
No, you're a great person.
And I always thought I was a decent terrorist.
One of the best.
Then why is this happening to me?
I wish I knew what to say. Perhaps you would feel better if I gave you a blowjob?
No, it's Ramadan.
So?
So, we are supposed to be fasting. What have you swallowed?
I promise I won't.
That's what you said last time.
Okay. Then how about if I find somebody else to do it? Somebody who doesn't celebrate Ramadan.
Everybody celebrates Ramadan.
Not a captured IDF soldier.
Fine. But make sure it's an attractive one. The last thing I need is a big-nosed Semite involved in my junk.
Thank you.
In the early 1960s, civil rights activists didn't just learn nonviolence by accident. Before traveling through the Deep South, the Freedom Riders underwent days of training and role-playing with the Congress of Racial Equality, learning how to remain passive even in the face of irrationality. Civil rights workers learned to be reasonable no matter how much they were provoked. Well, in 2014, a new generation is training for passive resistance, but they're not facing down bigotry. They're learning how to argue with idiots on the internet about science.
No, global warming is a hoax. The lake by my house is completely frozen.
Climate change doesn't mean you don't have winter. It's just that overall 9 of the 10 hottest years on record were just in the last decade.
Have you seen the frozen lake near my house?
No.
Then you don't know.
Training coordinator Ted Carson says his big challenge is making sure the role-playing scenarios are actually dumb enough.
We can't keep up. No matter how stupid our arguments, there's always something dumber online.
There's no actual proof of the theory of evolution.
There's old bones, carbon dating, DNA.
Then how come my grandfather isn't an orangutan?
Because humans and orangutans descended from a common ancestor, like cousins from the same grandfather.
My cousin is adopted, so...
Ted, does passive resistance really work in the long run?
We're not sure yet, but we can't change hearts and minds by calling people stupid. Stupid people hate that. Oops, looks like somebody's ready to blow.
And that's how my brother was cured, by the power of prayer.
You just said he was cured with topical steroids.
But he also prayed.
I will kill you all!
Calm down, Evan.
Oh, give it up, Ted. These idiots are taking over the planet. They're reproducing like flies, while we spend our childbearing years studying Descartes. They don't even believe in evolution. They're winning at it.
This is Strong Powers for the final edition.
Do you hear me? You all must be exterminated!
I'm Larry Merkin, former University of Phoenix Juris Doctor graduate and now recent medical graduate from the Caracas Institute of Alternative Medicine. So please call me Dr. Merkin. Anyway, I am here today to directly address our President of the United States, Mr. Barack Obama, about his Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. the Obamacare. I know that I have reached out to you previously on other important matters, Mr. President Barack Obama, and I'm still waiting to hear back from you. However, I, Dr. Larry Merkin, would like to bring to your attention, Mr. President Barack Obama of the United States of America, the matter of alternative medicine not being covered under the current Obamacare. This would also include any individuals receiving health care from shamans, faith healers, witch doctors, and voodoo priests. As a current practitioner of anthroposophic medicine, I feel that it is my duty to the general public to ensure that their needs for alternative medicine are being met through the Obamacare. So please, Mr. President Barack Obama, consider my open plea and the silent plea of America to give every citizen their full rights to health care, no matter how bizarre it seems. Also, if you wish to discuss any other ideas I have for improving your Obamacare, please feel free to contact me at 1-888-MERK-DOC. Seriously, call me this time. I'm here for you and America.
This has been a privately sponsored public service announcement by Larry Merkin. For Larry Merkin, with the written consent of Larry Merkin. Larry Merkin is not a legitimate paid spokesperson, nor does he represent anything or anyone other than himself.
With luck, we'll be right back. You are listening to the final edition, Radio Hour, Satire with Teeth.
Yes, indeed! Yes, indeed! Wow, thank you.
Thank you. Please, I've had heart surgery. Thank you. Nice to be in Washington, where the buck stops here. Way to go. And then it's handed out to AIG and many other people. Now, I have the new Timothy Geithner $20 bill. It's just been printed, kind of neat. Instead of "In God We Trust," it just says, "Trust me." And it says, "Spend before Tuesday." And also, instead of Andrew Jackson, it has the little man from Monopoly going. And I know many of you have been looking for Sarah Palin's book. It is a bitch to find. Good luck. I found it somewhere between fiction and nonfiction in the fantasy aisle. It's kind of fun. Wonderful. You get the feeling with Sarah Palin in high school, she was voted least likely to write a book and most likely to burn one. Do you think that might have been? She's pretty wild, baby. I love her. And also, Oprah has retired, is going to retire her show. Please say it isn't so. Oprah's going to retire her show. I hope she's not bummed out about losing the Olympics. I hope that's not it. It wasn't really fair. Chicago sent Oprah and Michelle. Brazil sent 50 strippers and a pound of blow. It's like, what? You think the Olympic Committee was going, "Oprah, shave pussy." Oprah, would you? Okay, we're going to have to go this way. And who the fuck thinks that Rio is safer than Chicago? My God. They're going to have to make kidnapping and waxing Olympic events. Degree of difficulty, 5.3. But it is interesting. They have the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, and the torch is heading across Canada right now, and already in BC, they're lighting torches going, "We're waiting." Come on, you folks, this came from Capitol Hill. Come on down. Where do you go? How are you, my friends? Grab some seats. You were caught in... What? Oh, that's your old boss. Did you fuck him?
This is Barry Lank, the West Coast producer for The Final Edition. A large part of the cast of this show began our comedy careers in San Francisco. And if you spent any substantial time in San Francisco comedy between the late 70s and the early 90s, you probably met Robin Williams. He was a central pillar of Bay Area comedy for at least a couple generations of comedians. Long after he'd become extremely famous, Robin would still come out to the clubs and just play with the other comics, just spin out ideas. He didn't even care if there was no audience. I mean, no audience. You had to see him and Mike Pritchard just shouting at each other at the Open Theater Cafe at 1 o'clock in the morning when there was no one in the house. And no one on stage. He was the guy that everybody was imitating back then with that frenetic pace and the shift in character. It got a little embarrassing, frankly, sitting at open mic saying, "Yep, there's another one doing Robin." Of course, since I'm on Facebook with all these old comics, I'm now seeing one post after another saying what a nice guy Robin was and how generous he was and how everybody loved him. And the reason all these people say that he was so nice is that he really was, like, way nicer than necessary. He quietly offered financial help to a lot of comedians. He reputedly pumped money into the Holy City Zoo, my home comedy club, and his too, I think. I hope he never expected to get any of that money back, because I doubt he ever did. And he treated everybody nice. Robin Williams didn't care who you were, headliner, open micer, waitstaff. He was gracious, he was sensitive, he was respectful, he was very polite. I know that sounds simple, but with famous people and really funny people, it often doesn't go that way. Beyond fond memories, though, Robin Williams leaves a very large influence, and not just his films. For one thing, he put San Francisco comedy back on the map. And nationally, in the really long run, Robin Williams was the first improvisational comedian that a lot of people ever saw. And you may have noticed that improv comedy has kind of exploded in recent days. Some great comedians still do like to go on stage with a plan and just follow it, but some of us like going up without knowing quite what the hell we're going to do altogether. And for decades, Robin Williams was the main guy doing that. So, to his family, as well as to some friends and future friends on Team Robin, a few old reprobates from the Holy City Zoo wish you the very best.
Good! in Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, Da Nang me. Why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early, how about that Cro-Magnon Marty Drywitz? Thank you, Marty, for silky smooth sound. Make me sound like Peggy Lee. Freddie and the Dreamers.
The wrong speed. We've got it on the wrong speed. For those of you who are recovering from a hangover, that's going to sound just right.
Let's pull it right back down again. Let's try a little faster, see if that picks it up a little bit. Let's get up on 718. Those pilots are going right now. I really like the music. I really like the music. I really like the music. Oh, still a bad song.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's try something.
Let's play this backwards and see if it gets any better.
Look, there's Neve. Freddy is a devil. Look, there's Neve. Freddy is a devil.
Hey, hi, can you help me? What's your name? My name's Roosevelt Lee Roosevelt. Roosevelt, what town are you stationed in? I'm stationed in Poon Tang. Well, thank you, Roosevelt. What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. Hot in this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch pot cooking. Well, can you tell me what it feels like? Fool, well, it's hot. I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot. You can be a little thing. I saw it so damn hot. I saw one of those little guys in the orange robe burst into flames. It's that hot. You know what I'm talking about. Well, what do you think it's going to be like tonight? It's going to be hot and wet. That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle. Thank you, Roosevelt. Here's a song coming your way right now.
Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson.
Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson. Mark calling Orson. Come in, Orson.
Orson to Mark, am I coming in loud and clear?
Oh, too loud, too clear.
You're coming in fuzzy. What's the matter with your head?
Oh, I'm sending fuzzy. I think I got a little berserb last night.
You're supposed to be observing the planet, not running around getting orc-faced. How's the sand holding out?
Been meaning to talk to you about that, Orson. I found a very safe place to put it. A cat box.
But that's,
Yes, that's what it's worth here, Orson.
Haven't you found out anything important?
Yes. Believe it or not, trees are green on Earth. There's a black liquid that sells for $3 a pound, and it takes two to tango.
I mean something really important.
Yes. Remember that girl I told you about?
Yes.
Well, she did something very nice. She defended me against her father. That was a very brave and kind thing to do, and I don't know, I think I'm coming down with
feelings
for her.
Mort, you know emotions are hazardous to your health. Don't start playing around with that stuff.
No, no, not me. You can trust me, sir. This is Mork, signing off from Boulder, Colorado. Boy, I'm glad I didn't land in Buffalo. See you next week, sir.
Hi, this is Jeff Kreisler, co-executive producer of the Final Edition Radio Hour, and here's my story about Robin Williams. About 2 years into doing stand-up comedy in San Francisco, common theme here, I actually got bumped from a show at this place called the Mott Cafe, by Mr. Robin Williams. Now, the Mott Cafe was this beautiful little, like literally little tiny space that's actually now an elevator shaft. It can maybe seat 12 seats and everyone else just crammed against the wall and on the stairs. Anyway, he was coming back. He was just getting back into stand-up. He bumped me from the show, which I was happy to have happen. I talked to him afterwards. We talked like normal people. I told him how I once had a locker next to him, had a gym on a family vacation when I was about 10 years old, how I wish I could tell him that had made a big impact on my life and gotten me into comedy, but really it was no impact at all. I actually had a locker next to John Oates from Hall & Oates. It was more interesting at the time. Anyway, we chatted. He went and did his comedy. He destroyed the room. It was awesome. And then after that, that place and so many other little venues were packed for months, almost probably a year, because people thought Robin might show up. And that was such a jolt of life into the whole scene. And he sort of benefited. He gave to everyone, even without directly meaning to. Now, I've been lucky to cross paths with him 5 or 6 times, probably, often at the show at the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley, run by this guy, Mark Pitta. And I was always amazed by several things. What a great fan of comedy he was. He'd come out just to hang out with the comedians, not always to perform. What a great fan of life he really was, how he was so interested in what everything that was going on with everybody, what they had to say, what they had going on, and just how real he was. I mean, he was not a guy that couldn't turn it off. People we just talked. We were just two dudes hanging out, or more. Nobody tried to be funny, but everyone was funny. I mean, it was cool. He lifted you up. He made you feel like you belonged. If you made it to the green room, he made you feel like you belonged. And that's an important lesson, one that's helped me and one that I've tried to convey to others, that there's different rankings in life, in your profession, but if you're part of it, particularly in comedy and the arts, no matter where you might quote-unquote rank, you belong. Now, I know this has become a little self-indulgent, so I'll just wrap with this. One of the first markers in my comedy career, one of the first times I felt that I might actually belong, was before all these encounters, and it happened 10 days after I was bumped from that show at the Mock Cafe. I was doing a show at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco. They had shows three nights a week for the up-and-comers. It was a great thing. I was doing the five-minute spot, which is that very first spot for the greenest of the green, the rookies of the rookies. And afterwards, I went outside in the club to hang out near the owner of the club, the guy that booked it, and hope he would, you know, catch my eye or I could get his attention. And as everyone was milling about there, Robin Williams walked down the stairs to come do a surprise set at the club. And he walked past us and he pointed at me and he said in a voice that was just loud enough, "Good to see you again, Jim." The owner looked at me quite amazed. Next week, I was up to 7 minutes, and all I could think was, first letter, first letter. It's good enough for me. Rest in peace, Mork. You are very loved.
I have a little secret for you. Huddle up. Huddle up! We don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race. And the human race is filled with passion. And medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are what we stay alive for. To quote from Whitman, "O me, O life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, what good amid these, O me, O life? Answer, that you are here, that life exists and identity, that the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be?"
We'll be right back after this with the Final Edition Radio.
Hey, Tony.
Yes, Jeff?
So, I just started listening to this show.
What do you mean, this show? The Final Edition Radio Hour?
Yes, the Final Edition Radio Hour.
You just started listening?
Yes.
But you produce it?
I've been busy. Look, it doesn't matter. The point is, I like it. I like this show a lot.
Well, I should hope so.
I mean, it's no car talk or anything, but, you know, it's good. I mean, it's great.
Well, we're glad you like it.
But I wish there was more I could do, you know, besides just listening.
What do you mean?
Well, I know how much work it must take to make great radio like this, and I worry that the Final Edition doesn't have enough fans, enough support, enough...
We're doing okay. We certainly could do better, but, you know.
Tony, come on. Don't be shy. What more can I do as a fan of this show, the Final Edition Radio Hour?
Well, I mean, you could go to thefinaledition.com and check out everything else that we offer.
Oh, cool. Thefinaledition.com. Oh, this is great. Oh, we have an album?
Yes, we do.
The Vinyl Edition. Cool. Oh, and it's on iTunes and CD Baby. That's awesome.
And it's cheap.
Good. I like that. Cheap greatness. Ooh, there's also a YouTube channel.
Yep. We've got great animation and live action clips and Money or Die.
So I could just go to thefinaledition.com and buy the album or share some of the great articles or go to the YouTube channel and share those videos.
Of course. That would be great.
And I could tell people about this show, right?
Absolutely. We're on Progressive Voices every weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. East and 5 p.m. West, and on Podbean, and we're syndicated through Rooftop Comedy and PRX.
So basically just help spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word.
About what again?
The Final Edition, Jeff. The Final Edition. You work here.
Oh, right. Thefinaledition.com.
Thefinaledition.com.
Welcome back to the conclusion of the Final Edition Radio Hour, A More Perfect Onion. It looks like we might make it after all.
Thanks for the ride, Don. Hey, have you seen the new Game of Thrones? You'll never believe...
You know how much I hate spoilers, Rob. I don't just want to know what happens. The fun is to take the journey for myself.
Jeez, sorry, man. You take this stuff so seriously sometimes.
Ugh, it's my doctor. I am not answering that. He probably wants to give me my biopsy results.
Biopsy? Are you sick?
I don't know. I told you. No spoilers.
Are you crazy? Don't you want to know if there's something wrong?
Of course I want to know. But what did I just say? I have to earn the emotional payoff. How lazy do you think I am?
Emotional payoff? This isn't TV. How will you find out you're sick?
That same way I find out what happened on Game of Thrones. By experiencing it for myself.
Holy shit. Is this why you've been losing all that weight?
Nah, that's the appetite suppressants.
Wait, what? Why?
Because hunger's stupid, man. Your body's like, oh, it's time to eat. And I'm like, spoiler alert, you know? Like, you see all these diabetics walking around with their blood glucose monitors. What a cop-out. Do you have to know everything right away? Have a little patience.
Look out! A red light!
Damn it, Rob. Spoiler alert.
God, you went right through it.
Not grow up. You know, while you're looking ahead for stoplights, your life is happening. Maybe you should live it once in a while.
Pull over, man!
But then what? He tells me how fast I was going and when I have to be in court? No way. I didn't disable my speedometer so some cop could lay his bourgeois idea of narrative over the story of my life.
This is gonna end with us in jail.
Nah, don't spoil it.
Come on.
Nah, I can't hear you.
Hands on the wheel, Don!
My lambs, enter here, and I shall bequeath unto you knowledge of all mysteries of time and the universe, and you will know peace.
Rob, if you go in there, I will lose all respect for you.
And now, Jim Earle, author of Morning Remembrance, a collection of mocking obituaries, with this week's tribute to a real dead person, Alistair Cameron, developer of the giant impact theory.
Alistair Cameron, the astrophysicist who first theorized the moon was formed billions of years ago after Earth collided with another planet, died recently when a chunk of arterial plaque collided with his heart. His giant impact theory of 1976 was widely mocked until overshadowed by Elton John teaming up with Kiki Dee. Cameron's giant impact theory postulated that the moon was created after an object the size of Mars struck Earth, leaving huge amounts of rubble in its wake that eventually formed the moon and parts of the Bronx. In his quest for answers, Cameron also discovered how gigantic dying stars create new stars as they explode. In other words, he helped solve the mystery of Lisa Marie Presley's career. Cameron requested his body be hurled at light speed into Paul Sorvino.
For more insensitive, tasteless obituaries like that, buy Jim's book, Morning Remembrance, at Amazon.com. Remember, morning is spelled with a U. Don't be stupid.
Welcome to Gateway High, a progressive private school in West Los Angeles, which nurtures the spawn of entertainment moguls. For security reasons, we cannot release any A-list names, but rest assured that these students come from the same blood that you see on the big and occasionally small screens. And please keep in mind that while these kids come from privilege, they are dedicated to becoming free thinkers and nonconformists. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the future of America.
Are you excited?
Uh-huh.
Good. Me too. Now, get a pen and paper so we can brainstorm. Title and date it.
How to commit suicide.
Perfect. Now, let's think. What would be the best way for you to do this?
I was thinking I could hang myself.
Ugh, too cliche.
But then I could make the rope real tight and go to heaven with a massive boner.
Yeah, you're not doing that.
Why not?
Because martyrdom is not some perverse game. This has to be respectable. Think Palestinian on Israeli school bus. What are you doing?
Eating a sandwich.
Before you kill yourself? Are you insane?
I was hungry.
Great. Now you're gonna be fat for your death.
Sorry.
It's fine. We'll find a place for you to puke it out later. But right now, we have to focus. Oh, how about crucifixion? Or electrocution? Ooh, maybe you can light yourself on fire a la Vietnam protests? How awesomely retro would that be? Wait, why aren't you writing these down?
I'm starting to have second thoughts.
Excuse me?
It's just, maybe I don't deserve this.
How could you say such a thing?
Now that I gained all this weight, maybe I'm not good enough to be your martyr.
Look, Suey. Mind if I call you Suey?
I actually prefer Suicidal Boy.
I don't really care, but I understand how you feel.
You do?
Of course. When I was 3, I put on like 4 pounds, and I felt really bad about myself.
But you're like so perfect.
I know. Not back then, though. I was totally awkward and chubby, which is why I started flirting with heroin. But one night, while my dad's assistant was tucking me into bed, I had this realization. I was not put on this earth to be some narcissistic, self-consumed animal. And that's what you, Mr. Suey, have to remember. You are about to do something that's incredibly beautiful and generous for the world. Something to show them that we will not stand for war, for brutality, for ignorance. Something that will finally demand peace in this country. God damn it!
What's wrong?
Suicide just stopped trending. What are your thoughts on school shootings?
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earl, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The Final Edition Radio Hour is written, at one time or another, by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earl, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition Radio Hour is produced by Tony Hendra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast producer Barry Lank. The Final Edition Radio Hour is edited and audio produced by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. This episode's audio engineer was Eric West. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014. And various music for today's episode provided by Kevin MacLeod.